I think one of the big benefits of repurposing is it just makes you look bigger than you are. And for a lot of people, that builds trust in and of itself. It's like, oh, there's a big enough team behind this product. There's something to it. It's not just two people in a basement trying to sell this.
You're listening to the Content 10X podcast, where it's all about content repurposing. I'm Amy Woods, and I'm here to help you maximize your content and find smart ways to get your message in front of more of the right people, whilst also saving time. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Content 10X podcast. I'm your host, Amy Woods, and I'm delighted to have you here with me on today's episode. Now, following on from our last excellent episode with Ashley Foss as part of our B2B Expert mini-series, this episode we're talking to the wonderful Jess Cook, who is the Head of Content and Comms at Island. Jess was on our sister podcast, B2B Content Strategist, and we spoke briefly on that podcast episode about repurposing, and she had a real energy for it. So I knew I had to get her on this show to dive deeper into content repurposing, and I'm so glad that I did. So we talk about why video is her favorite type of content for repurposing and how it can make your team and your brand seem way bigger than they are. She also talks about how she measures repurposed content, as well as common misconceptions about repurposing and some great lessons learned through mistakes made too. It's a fantastic conversation, so let's dive in. Jess, welcome to the Content 10X podcast.
Thank you so much for having me again. This is so exciting.
I know, I'm very excited too. So as we said just before I hit record, we've spoken on the B2B Content Strategist podcast. Had an absolutely fantastic conversation, such good feedback. And we kept talking a bit about repurposing content, but it wasn't the whole purpose of the episode. So we went so far and then got it back to other things we wanted to cover. So I'm really looking forward to this episode because we're just going to dig deep into the world of content repurposing. So thank you for agreeing to come on to our other podcast, the Content 10X podcast. It's so good to have you here. Number one really big question is, no pressure, what is your favorite type of content to repurpose? So the type of content, and also why, like why does that type of content work so well for you when it comes to repurposing?
I find myself loving repurposing video, especially in the last year or so. One, I just think it's fun. I love diving into a full-length interview and finding the 3 to 4 nuggets that really stand out as a clip on their own, and then understanding how best to use it. I tend to edit those myself. I love to jump into the script or capsule and really like edit, cut down to the best little soundbite or the most insightful moment or moments, and give those a really nice kind of branded wrapper with some sort of intriguing headline to get someone to watch the video and understand, you know, what it is the person is talking about or what kind of gem they're going to deliver. For a long time, it was like, okay, this is great social stuff, right? And I would just grab those clips and put them into social. More and more lately, I've been finding even more use for them to embed them into blog posts or reuse them in email. I'm trying to find new and interesting and different ways to use those clips, because helpful to boiling and distilling down some big topics to just one great thought usually, or one short story. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about video that just makes it very easy to go from long form to short form, and then even take that video and go from video to written content. There's something really nice about starting with video that, I don't know, just helps you get a really robust repurposing program going.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. When I'm asked that question, my answer is always video as well, because it just has so many dimensions to it. Like you said, like long form to short form, stay within video content, video to written to audio. It has all the different dimensions to play with, doesn't it? So I completely agree with you.
And it has the human element too, right? Like it has a face, it has a personality. There's someone you can relate to saying the thing. But you can go follow them and hear what else they have to say if they've said something really insightful that you relate to. I don't know. There's just something about that's a really little magical combination.
Every dimension. I completely agree. Would you say there is a best example that you have of when you've repurposed video content? So maybe a particular video that stands out to you where you just, wow, we managed to do so much with that video and there was so much potential from what we repurposed.
I actually have a couple examples of that. So when I was at Lasso, we were pretty driven by the roadmap, the product roadmap. I was like, okay, we know this feature or this new product is coming out and we're going to want to have some sort of big announcement around that. We're going to want it to be pretty splashy. And a couple times it was funny because we like not only repurposed the content, but we repurposed the process as well, which is, oh man, so meta, so cool. Where we would go and we would capture this really beautiful, high production value launch video. And then we would repurpose that everywhere for the launch. So it felt really big. It was in the launch email to customer and prospects. It was on social. We'd put it out on YouTube. It was on the homepage. We had this really great little mechanism where it would pop up to the right people and invite you to learn more or invite you to a webinar or a demo to see it in action. Then we would do that again for the next launch. And we heard from a lot of people that like that mechanism made us feel so big. That was something that people would come and be like, how many people are on your marketing team? And be like, oh, four. And it was like, man, that's insane. That's crazy that you could accomplish something like that with four people. So that was, I think that's one of the big benefits of repurposing is it just makes you look bigger than you are. And for a lot of people, that builds trust in and of itself is, oh, there's a big enough team behind this product. There's something to it. It's not just two people in a basement trying to sell this. So that's one example. Another example is just internal interviews. If you can sit down with 3 to 5 people in your company and get their insights on the big topics and maybe the kind of controversial things that are going on in the market, you can go for months, a year on that content, just chopping it up, putting it out there in social, do some sort of series, do a compilation, put it in email. There is so much you can do with that. And that's another way, again, just to look bigger, right? Because, oh my gosh, they have all these experts building this product, talking about the market, talking about what's going on in the industry. Yeah, man, they're really smart. I want to learn more, not only about the product, but I want to follow these people. I want to see what these people behind the video have to say going forward. That is always, you can just sit down with a few folks for a handful of minutes, get some insights. You can do a lot with that content.
Exactly. That the expertise is there. They're not naturally content creators. They're the experts within the organization. But if you can get that expertise out of them, there's so much content that you can create. Like you said, you could go for a year with just interviewing the experts in the company. I really love that answer. And how do you typically measure content repurposing? I know that there's obviously just loads of different ways that we measure content overall. And that's not really going to change whether it's from repurposed or from core content. You'll still be measuring the content in the same ways. But is there a way that you also like to measure the effort of content repurposing and whether there was the return on investment that you were hoping for?
Yeah, I think one of the big things is I like to compare it to the core piece of content that it came from and what kind of reach, what kind of conversion rate, whatever, did that core piece have? And then what kind of reach and impact on the business did all of the repurposed content have? And I usually find that the repurposed content works harder than the original piece, which seems counterintuitive, but I think the fact that it's shorter, it's bite-sized, you're getting people again to those really distilled, powerful nuggets of information and insights, that draws people in. And typically you'll get more people to see that. You'll get more people to want to learn more from that than you will a really big piece of content. And maybe you're driving them to that big piece of content, but usually on the whole, I will see that we get 12, 15, 20, sometimes 30x just reach on a repurposed piece of content that can then bring them into our world and get them to know more. Oftentimes it's like the first touch point, right? And coming in from that piece to learn more. And so I love looking at that. I love trying to figure out what is that multiplier between the original piece of content and what and the repurposed. The second thing that I love about repurposing in that way and how we're measuring it is every piece of repurposed content is a test to see which part of that kind of original piece resonates the most. What's the best hook? What's the best way to get somebody into that bigger piece of content? And so I think if you can think about it that way, repurposing, the ROI and repurposing and the measurement really should be around the testing aspect of it and how you're bringing people in. Okay, if there's this one clip that like there were three clips from this podcast interview or expert interview or whatever the case may be, and this one brought 40% of people to the larger interview. Let's dissect that one clip and see what about it is causing that, right? Can we create more content around that? Can we do a webinar around that? Clearly people are interested. So I think it has so much to do with, yes, getting the content out there, but it also has a lot to do with which aspects of this piece of content is the thing that people are most interested in and is going to lead them to want to learn more.
I absolutely love that. And combining the first and the second of what you said, when you were saying sometimes you find that you get maybe more reach overall on the repurposed content than the core piece that you're repurposing from. But then when you look at it, might be different stages of the marketing funnel. So it might be a fairly in-depth webinar. You aren't going to expect as many people to turn up to a 45-minute fairly in-depth webinar where they're probably already looking at you in a bit more detail anyway, than the people who are going to engage with that 30-second like clip that you put on social. But you're so right in terms of if you then, like the second part of what you said, if you do the webinar the first time and then you create all this social content and you see exactly which bits really resonated for you social, if you're going to do that webinar again, it's the clip that got the most engagement that you can then use to run the ad, isn't it, to promote the webinar again and things like that. So there's so much that comes from it, and it just goes up and down the funnel. But you know what you said about just measuring, if we hadn't repurposed this, we'd have had 75 people turn up to a live webinar. But because we did, we've had 20,000 eyes on the repurposed content, the blog post, this, that, and the other that we created from it, and got more people to the next version of the webinar. Is there best result that you've ever had, like an example of that? And it might not necessarily be to do with engagement or content or anything like that, but just where you think that's probably the best result I've ever seen from repurposing content? Or would it tie back to the event that you talk about at Lasso in the video that you did there?
I think a couple of things. The Lasso, how we did that at Lasso was really effective. We had a number of product launches take place over about 6 months. And at the end, we had this giant kind of a event where everyone could come see everything and see it in action. And a lot of what we created and repurposed drove the attendance for that event. And we had more people attend that event than had ever attended anything we had ever done before. So that was really exciting and a really big win. Something I'm doing at Island right now is we're trying to get higher level folks into our following on LinkedIn. That's just a really good place for us to play. We have a lot of kind of practitioners, people that would use Island day to day. But what we're really trying to grow is like that C-level audience of followers. And so what we're trying to do is put more C-level altitude repurposed content there so that we can grow that part of our audience faster. And so far it's working. Miraculous. When you put content out there that audience would care about, they continue to come to you. It really does matter, like the type of content that you're putting out there, who it's speaking to. I think you really have to think about that. It's not always enough just to put repurposed content out there, but make sure it's to the person that is going to be the ultimate decision maker on whether or not you move forward with this product. Island itself is a decent investment. The higher the price tag, the higher you have to go on the corporate food chain to get that decision made. So yeah, that's something we're pretty heavily investing in, is like making sure we're hitting those high level, a lot of thought leadership topics in our content to bring more of that audience to us.
Excellent. That really makes sense and sounds like it's going really well, which is good.
Hey, just a little break from this podcast episode to ask you a question.
Would you like one single place that you can go to that provides you with everything you need to be able to implement the best practices in content repurposing for your video content, your podcast episodes, and your social media content today? To help you get more value from the content that you create, get more time back, and help you reach more people than you ever thought possible. If so, then you are going to love the Content 10X Toolkit. The toolkit is full of video tutorials, templates, checklists, swipe files, step-by-step guides, and more that shows you how to repurpose your content in the best ways possible today. No more Googling, no more figuring it out yourself. We provide you with everything that you need to become a content repurposing pro. If this sounds like something that would interest you, then go check out the Content 10X Toolkit at content10x.com/toolkit. Okay, and back to this week's episode.
What is a really unexpected repurposing opportunity that you've made the most of, like across your career? Just, we all talk about how you should create content with repurposing in mind, and if you know what you're going to be repurposing it into, you can plan that into the content from the start. But sometimes we're just struck by really unexpected repurposing opportunities, and I just wondered, is there ever an example where you've been surprised that something that came from something you never saw was going to be repurposed?
Yeah, okay, this is probably gonna go the other way, right? It was a kind of a repurposing, I don't even want to say failure. It was a great lesson. So in my time at MarPipe, I created this piece of research around, let me back up a little bit. MarPipe was a testing platform for ad creative. And I wanted to, people are always like, why do I need that? I myself am an ad creative. I know what good creative looks like, right? A creative director or a performance marketer might say something like that. And so we were trying to prove, like, You don't know, even though you've been in this industry, even though you've been creating ads for 10, 15 years, we are still human and we still have preferences and we still have a lot of subjectivity when it comes to what we think is going to work in an ad. So we put this piece of research together. We did a survey where we showed marketers and creatives 5 sets of ads, the same ad side by side, and ask them to guess which one performed better. And marketers can only get this right 52% of the time. And so we put this whole piece of research together around which job, it didn't matter which job title. Marketing job titles is basically the same across the board. We all have a really hard time with it. Didn't matter how long you've been in the industry. Even people who've been in the industry for 25 years did just as poorly as people who'd been in it for 2. So it really is, we have all these biases and we think we know, but we don't. We thought, in order to build this report, we thought it'd be really interesting to make this, instead of calling it a survey, make it a quiz and kind of go after people's egos, right? Let's see if you really know. So we put this quiz out there. It caught fire on, it was called Twitter then. I was hoping to get 100 people to take this quiz. And within 48 hours, 2,000 people had taken it. And so we were able to get all this great information to build this report. And I thought, we're going to do this again. This was amazing. People loved it. We kept hearing people say, I would take this quiz every day. This is the new Wordle for me. If you were to give me this quiz every day. So we built it again. And about 6 weeks later, we put another one out and 200 people.
Really? What were we?
That's so we used the exact same format.
No.
Exact same kind of promotional tactics. And even people who say, I would take this quiz every day, didn't do it, right? And so there is something to be said around testing your repurposing. We were in the midst of trying to figure out how we could automate this quiz and make it happen every week. And we thought, let's try it one more time manually and see what happens before we invest all this time and effort into making this an automated kind of process and quiz and a weekly thing that we do. And thank goodness we did, because lightning just did not strike twice for whatever reason. Yeah, I think with repurposing, there are things that will surprise you. There are clips that you think are maybe basic or elementary that will just take off. And then there are things that do so well and you try to recreate it and they fizzle, right? Just don't stop repurposing. Use those learnings to get smarter each time.
That's a great example. And like you said, you couldn't have predicted that, but you the experiment was there and it showed not to do that anymore. I guess you don't always believe what people say when they say they want more of something.
Humans are very fickle.
Fickle, yes. when it comes to like creating content for Island at the moment or in previous positions that you've been in as well, what kind of criteria do you often apply to, I guess, more the, not the unexpected repurposing, but like the more standard content that you're creating, to decide whether it's worth all of the time, effort and expense of repurposing? So are there certain boxes that you think, I think we would need to tick these boxes for us to be about to plow that amount of time and effort into the repurposing of a piece of content?
Absolutely. So first, I think it has to be really pertinent to the topic pillars or the points of view that your brand and company want and need to be known for. If you're putting out a piece of content because somebody in this department over here is like begging for it and they think it's really going to help, and you do it to appease that team and just give them that piece that's going to help them, but it might be niche or it might have just been a one-off kind of thing, it might not ladder back up to all of the topic pillars or whatever it is you're trying to make your company known for. So that's probably not a great candidate for repurposing, especially if you have a small team. I think most of this applies. If you have a small team, you don't have the bandwidth to go out there and repurpose for every industry vertical and repurpose for every kind of persona. You have to be very specific about what you're going to repurpose for. And for our team, that is, what are the things that, again, are going to bring in that C-level audience and be pretty universal or horizontal across verticals at the moment? Because we have a smaller team and we're trying to get as much content out there that makes sense as possible.
That's the key thing that you said as well, that makes sense, isn't it? As much content out there as possible that makes sense. It's not just about more, but like you said, and when you are trying to do more, do as much as you can with a small team without unlimited resources, things like that, you have to be even more judicious in terms of where you put that time and the effort. We talk about all the benefits of repurposing, but it doesn't just happen, does it? You put a lot of time and effort into doing it, so you have to make the right decisions. What would you say is the biggest misconception that, you know, fellow B2B marketers may have about repurposed content? So you hear people say that and you think that's a misconception, that's not how repurposing works. And how would you debunk that misconception in 30 seconds?
I think this goes back to what you just said, Amy. Like, I think people think it's really easy. It still requires time and discernment of which pieces are great for this, which pieces have a ton of legs, which pieces could be repurposed in three different formats. All of that thought has to go into play as you're creating the piece. It sounds easy. It sounds like you just take a piece and you chop it up and throw it back out there. It's not easy. I think maybe even a bigger misconception is that it takes place after you've created the original piece of content. And I think some of the times that I've had the most success with repurposing a piece of content was I thought about how I was going to repurpose it before I created it. And in doing so, structured it and wrote it in a way that made repurposing very easy, that made distilling things down to those really great insights very simple. It made it easier on everyone involved too, and made it easier on design to go in there and really understand what I'm trying to get at, to take this bulleted list of seven things on a blog post and turn it into a really great LinkedIn carousel, right? I think that might even be the bigger misconception, that it's an easy task. It is a task that requires just as much effort as the original content creation piece, and it has to be done much earlier than you probably think it does.
100% agree. Yeah, 100% agree with you on that. So we talked earlier, we were talking about mistakes and things like that with repurposing. And obviously you shared the great example of the comparison test that you did that seemed to be like going to be the next thing. And then people were fickle and didn't want it again. So in terms of mistakes that people make with repurposing, what would you say is a real kind of mistake or rolling your eyes type moment when you see certain things that people do, or just a specific example of where you've seen something and you've thought, oh no, that's not how you repurpose content?
Yeah. I think sometimes people think repurposing just means like copy and paste. And guess what? Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's as simple as picking something up and picking up a social post and putting it in your email. If it was written in a way that feels like it can be consumed in an email, great. But that's not always the case. And so sometimes I'll see people pick up, again, we'll go back to that bulleted list, because that seems like it could be very easily consumed in a social format. But they don't clip it down to feel like it's native. So it feels like a blog post has been just dumped on LinkedIn. So I think that's one big misconception. Repurposing is not just picking it up and dropping it somewhere else. It's taking the idea and making it feel like it's native to whatever place it is that you're consuming it. I think when you're trying to figure that out too, readability is key, right? There's a certain type of kind of formatting and spacing that works really well on LinkedIn that like you probably don't need to do for an email or a blog post or anything like that, right? I think you just have to think about how do I get someone to continue reading this or watching this? A lot of that has to do with a great hook. A lot of that has to do with just making sure that it is formatted in a way that makes sense for wherever it is you're putting it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that when people don't make those platform specific adjustments to content as well, like when they repurpose content, but then it's just putting the same thing that you would put on one platform onto another, it just appears like a very minimal work effort, like almost lazy repurposing, doesn't it? You don't see it so much anymore, but it used to annoy me when you saw people who just auto-shared Instagram to Facebook, because Instagram, they'd follow Instagram features with Insta hashtags and stuff like that. And then you'd be like, why have you got a load of Instagram hashtags on this Facebook post? Oh, okay, because you just hit a button to, and that's literally the effort that you put into your Facebook audience, is to hit a button on Instagram, basically, and just not making those adjustments. And I guess it's navigating the line, isn't it, between you want to save some time through repurposing content, but as you and I have just said, and I completely agree with you, that it's just as hard and you should be putting just as much thought into the repurposed content that you create. It's just that you're saving time on all the like original brainstorming and insight and thought process, etc., because you're taking something where that's already been done, but you're still having to respect the platforms and the audience and where they are in the funnel and things like that. And people just sometimes neglect that, don't they? That this is still a quality process with quality outputs.
And maybe that's what it is, Amy. Maybe it's sometimes it's not the piece of content you need to repurpose. Sometimes it's the idea. Sometimes just this is the story we're trying to tell, and I need to repurpose this story. And what is the best way to do that in all of the channels that we live in from day to day? So maybe that's what it is. Sometimes it's worth just taking a step back, and instead of just trying to grab that section out of your white paper or whatever, what's the idea you're trying to convey, and how could you best do that in X channel?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because all pieces of content are a form of communicating some kind of message, aren't they? And like right back to what you said at the start of this conversation about how some of the best content comes from interviewing internal experts within organizations. But, you know, perhaps that wasn't a formal interview as well, actually. Perhaps you were just in an internal meeting where something fantastic was discussed and you're sat there with your marketing head on and you're thinking, this is content. That's idea conversation repurposing, isn't it? They probably weren't thinking they were sharing content when they launched into that example or insight or story in an internal meeting.
Great example of this for you. We just had our sales kickoff a couple weeks ago. And something that the sales team did was they played a game of Jeopardy where all of our major objections that come up consistently on calls were portrayed in the form of a Jeopardy question. And the sales team had to ring in and give their best kind of rebuttal to that rejection. And as I was watching this, I was like, I have an entire Jeopardy board of content ideas here. Every single one of these can be turned into something. I don't know what yet. They're probably not all the same, but I have every bit of this. And so now what I'm doing is I'm going through each of those Jeopardy objections with an expert on our team, and I just last week did like a 7-page document of, okay, here was the Jeopardy question. Here's like the story I got out of it. Here are the formats. Here are the ways we can tell this story to our audience. Yes, exactly. It does not, again, repurposing the idea, not necessarily a piece of content, but really the story I want to tell.
Yeah, well, great example as well. Like Jeopardy sales meeting repurposing is brilliant. I'm sure you'll have a good post yourself to share about that on LinkedIn in time to come when you've fleshed out the idea. That's fantastic. So this final question is a great question for you in particular, because I remember when you were on our B2B Content Strategies podcast, I think we actually called the episode How to Make a Small Marketing Team Look Big with Jess Cook. So this is a great question. If you could give one piece of advice to a B2B marketing manager with a small team, but the desire to make the most out of the company's content by embracing repurposing, but they're really not already doing that. So they're coming in and they're looking at everything and they're just thinking, we've got a really small team, there's a lot of content, where do I start with this repurposing journey? What would that one piece of advice be that you would give them?
I would say focus in on the one persona or buyer that you want to target, one channel. If that's email, go for email. If that's some sort of social platform, go for that social platform. And really dominate there. Okay, let's say it's CMOs and you want to use LinkedIn, right? And I would just really learn about what kind of content you're repurposing and how CMOs are reacting to it on LinkedIn, and do that for months before you even contemplate, okay, we've learned a lot, let's try to take this and move it into email, or let's try to move this into another social platform. Because if you try to take all of that and put it into multiple channels for a couple different personas, it's going to just burn your team out. You're not going to learn anything. It's going to be so disparate that you're not really going to know which pieces of data are going to help you the most. It's going to be really difficult to figure that out. So work with your leadership team to really understand which persona, which kind of buyer or champion is really giving us the most impact, who's most likely to click book a demo, or who's most likely to say, yes, we're moving forward with buying this piece of software, and which channel is bringing in most of those opportunities, and find the intersection of those two things and start there.
I love that. And if you've potentially been in this situation yourself, in your experience, if you get pushback on that from leadership or your team, who say this seems a bit singular focus, we should be shooting for the world, this seems a bit too lasered in, what would you say? How would you handle that objection if you got some pushback on trying to deploy that approach?
I would say that it's going to be really difficult, one, to keep the quality up if we're going to try and do this everywhere for everyone. And we're not going to get the return that we would if we did this we're basing this off of business information. We're basing this off of the idea that, like, I'm going back to the same example, the CMO on LinkedIn is really a powerful combination for us. So let's start there and let's build a process and systemize how we're repurposing. And then let's move on to the next persona. Maybe that's a CFO, right? And we can replicate this process then for the CFO. And we're just going to get better and better over time. But we do need this first step to really figure out what works for our small team before we try to grow.
Yeah, exactly. Get it right once and then accelerate it to the other personas and other ways of extending out once you know how it works and you've tested it in one area. Yeah, fantastic. Really great advice. So thank you. And you'd have a great one for that. Jess, thank you so much. It's been a really great conversation. I've really loved all of your answers. So useful, so insightful for everybody listening in. So thanks for that. And to that end, where would you like people to go to connect with you, to tell you that they heard you on the Content 10X podcast and you've been fantastic? I'm imagining it's going to be LinkedIn, isn't it? But I always ask that question anyway.
No, you have to ask. LinkedIn is my home base. You can find me on LinkedIn. I also have a podcast as well called That's Marketing Me. And I do that with my marketing bestie, Susan, who's on the paid side of things and I'm on the organic side of things. And we just talk about whatever we think is pertinent for folks in those kinds of roles. Definitely check that out as well. But yeah, LinkedIn is where I'm at.
We'll put links to both. So absolutely go check the podcast out. Connect with Jess on LinkedIn. Jess always shares just fantastic content on LinkedIn. So everybody should be following you on LinkedIn without a doubt. Jess, yeah, do that. And if you're going to connect, let Jess know that you heard her on the Content 10X podcast. That would be great. Okay, thank you, Jess. Absolutely fantastic. It's always a pleasure talking with you. So thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, likewise, Amy. Thank you so much.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that discussion and thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoy the Content 10X podcast, then why not hit that subscribe button on your podcast listening app of choice so that you can get updated when new episodes are released. And I'd really, really appreciate it if you could leave a review as well. That really makes a difference for the podcast. Also, please do get a copy of my book, Content 10X, More Content, Less Time, Maximum Results. It is the ultimate guide to repurposing every type of content. And it's available on Amazon, in Kindle and paperback, and also in audiobook as well. And you can head to content10x.com/book to find all the other places that you can get a copy of my book. And if you would like us to do your content repurposing for you, then we offer a fully end-to-end done-for-you content repurposing service. This is for podcasters and video content creators. We have our Podcast 10X, Video 10X, and also our specific LinkedIn 10X service, helping you to become the leading authority in your industry on LinkedIn. You can find out so much more about our services on our website. And also, please do give me a follow on the social media platforms. I share lots and lots of tips and advice on social media about content repurposing. I'm at Content 10X on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And if you try content10x.com/LinkedIn, you'll find my LinkedIn profile over there as well. All that's left to say is thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and I'll catch you in the next one.